Israelis are a politically capricious bunch, at least when it comes to foreign leaders. Had they changed their minds about their own government as quickly as they change their minds about foreign governments, we would be replacing our government every 2 months. Had they changed their opinions on their own leader as fast as they shifted their stance on Donald Trump, Benjamin Netanyahu would have been sitting at home long ago. Here is a small story that illustrates the point, the story of 50 Israelis. We found them completely by accident, a welcome statistical occurrence. They responded to a survey we conducted 6 months ago, which included a specific question about the American president. This week, when we ran a routine weekly poll, those same 50 individuals happened to land in the sample again, and so, they answered the very same question. 6 months ago, the question was framed as follows. During Donald Trump's last visit to Israel, several figures, including the Prime Minister, stated that he is the friendliest president to Israel ever. Do you think this statement is? The options ranged from very accurate and somewhat accurate to somewhat inaccurate and completely inaccurate. Back then, a massive, decisive majority of the Israeli public agreed with the statement. 3 out of 4 Israelis nodded in approval. Nearly 40% of them even chose the unequivocal, very accurate option. There was no doubt among the public. History had culminated. The Messiah had arrived from Washington, and there had never been a president like him. But a few months passed, and reality, as is its habit in the Middle East, refused to remain intact. Since that poll, Trump managed to prove just how closely he can bring the two nations together, to the point of tight military coordination and a joint strike on a major regional enemy, while simultaneously proving just how far apart he can push them. It happened with dizzying speed. The president decided to halt the war, compromise with Iran, and berate Israel for not cheering his new path. Suddenly, it became clear that Trump's friendship is a cold, conditional transaction. Jews like to think of themselves as a people with a long historical memory. We remember the exodus from Egypt, the destruction of the temple, and the Spanish expulsion. But in the case of Donald Trump, Israelis proved just how short their political memory is, perhaps too short. When we asked this week in general terms whether Trump is a good or bad president for Israel, 4 out of 10 Israelis, 40%, explicitly defined him as a bad president. Only 2 out of 10, 20%, still hold onto the good label. The rest are simply bewildered. They don't know what to think. Granted, there are still many Israelis who think he is better than most previous presidents, but this mostly betrays what they think of some of his predecessors. If even the current Trump is still deemed the friendliest ever, what does this say about a Biden, Obama, Bush, Clinton, Reagan, Carter, Ford? By coincidence, or perhaps not, the Pew Research Center published a sweeping international survey last week tracking public confidence in Trump around the globe. On the surface, the review painted a highly flattering picture. Israel ranked as the country with the second highest level of trust in Trump out of 36 nations surveyed. Only the Philippines surpassed us by a hair, 68% there express confidence in Trump, compared to 66% here. However, anyone who digs deeper into the data realizes that the Pew report is already outdated for us. The data was gathered between February and May. We are already in early July. In the span of a single month, Israelis moved on. They discovered that the Trump of yesterday is not the Trump of today. Yet, in truth, a deeper and more ironic reality has emerged. The Trump of yesterday is exactly, precisely, the Trump of today. His character hasn't changed one bit. He remains the same volatile, adversarial, coarse, short-tempered, aggressive, utilitarian, and cynical individual. The only difference is that yesterday, those traits, when directed at our enemies, aligned with our interests and amused us. Today, when they are directed at us, it simply suits us a bit less. One can, of course, understand this sudden reversal. Politics is a game of cold realism. He turned on us, so we turn on him. An eye for an eye, a tweet for a tweet. But we can and should learn something unsettling about our national character from this. It exposes the deep psychological dependency we have developed on the American president, our obsessive need for his overt affection and, above all, are exaggerated, almost childish expectations of whoever occupies the Oval Office. The greater the expectation, the sharper the disappointment. If we remembered a little better that Trump is not our president, but the president of another nation with its own interests, and if we internalized that there are certain personality traits that eventually always erupt, we wouldn't have believed in him with such religious fervor before, and we wouldn't be quite so sharply, bitterly and fearfully disappointed in him now. Something I wrote in Hebrew. As Gadi Eisenkot rises to become Netanyahu's main election rival, here's what ultra-Orthodox groups blocked Israeli roads, protesting the detainment of draft dodgers. Here's what I wrote. The conclusion is quite simple. There are two ways to stop the Haredi road blockades. The short way and the long way. The short way is simply to give up. To give up on enlistment, on integration, on improvement, on confronting the issue. Just grant the Haredi community the autonomy it wants. The long way is not to give up, until they realize that this time a change is truly coming. And that is, of course, not very pleasant to write, and not very pleasant to hear. We all prefer easy solutions achieved through consensus. Except, such solutions are not always available. A week's numbers. Donald Trump once said he would get elected as Israel's PM had he decided to run. Not anymore, see the left-hand side column. A reader's response. Jeff writes, "Wake up people, New York City is turning on the Jews." Answer, there's a whole range of gray areas between a Judaophile embrace and pogroms. Let's attempt to clearly identify our current shade of gray. Shmuel Rosner is senior political editor. For more analysis of Israeli and international politics, visit Rosner's domain at jewishjournal.com/rosnersdomain.